Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you showed your love for us through your only begotten Son. You sent him into the world that we might live as he was the propitiation for our sins, making us favorable in your sight and cleansing us from all sin. Help us to live by faith that rests in your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 499. That's what the number is. 499. Tomorrow. The number. Big plans are coming when that number hits 500 on October 31st, 2017. 500 years since an unknown monk with a hammer, a couple of nails, nailed his paper proposing a debate over 95 questions and statements concerning indulgences. Now, indulgence was a grant by the Pope for the remission of a debt, that temporal punishment in purgatory, still due for sins. Purchase an indulgent, and the persons whose name was written on the indulgence would be released from purgatory, released by payment of some coin, some money, money that would be used to build St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Those little theses, those statements, those questions, those 95 of them turned over the world. That'll be observed 500 years next year, 2017, October 31st. That unknown monk, his name would become known throughout the world. Politics changed, theology changed, the church was changed. Little things can cause huge changes, just huge changes. For Luther, those indulgences were absolutely harmful. They were harmful because a false sense of security and peace was leading the purchaser of the indulgence away from true repentance, leading to even neglecting any need of true repentance. Hey, I can buy an indulgence. I don't need to repent. And as a result, hence, leading away from Christ. Trust was being placed in that piece of paper, that indulgence, and not in Christ. Have you read the 95 Theses? They are fascinating. They really are fascinating. And I encourage you to read them sometime. But here's a couple that speak about love. Starting at 41 to 46 of the 95 Theses, speaking of love, listen to these because they really are pertinent to the letter of 1 John. Papal indulgences must be preached with caution lest people erroneously think that they are preferable to other good works of love. Christians are ought to be taught that the Pope does not intend that the buying of indulgences should any way be compared with works of mercy. Christians are to be taught that he who gives to the poor or lends to the needy does a better deed than he who buys an indulgence. Because love grows by works of love, man therefore becomes better. Man does not, however, become better by means of indulgences, but is merely freed from penalties. 45. Christians ought to be taught that he who sees a needy man and passes him by, yet gives his money for indulgences, does not buy papal indulgences, but God's wrath. And 46. Christians ought to be taught, unless they have more than they need, they must reserve enough for their family needs and by no means squander it on indulgences. That's just a sampling that love, Love should be a part of who you are and what you do. Learning to love. Don't buy indulgences. Learn to love. Truly love as God loves us. Don't use that money on indulgences. Use that money to care for the poor, care for the needy. Do those good works of love that work love even more inside of you. These good works of love are exactly what the Apostle John is writing about in 1 John, his letter. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? For Luther, how can you buy an indulgence when you see a brother in need? 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Doing these good works of love is evidence that you have been born of God and that you know God. Now, take your big imagination and dream. I mean, truly dream. What would happen? What would the world look like if we truly loved? Because God first loved us. The peace, the generosity, the compassion. Boy, the nightly news would vastly be different. Luther. Luther was driven into that monastery out of fear. A thunderstorm was raging. It caught him on the road, and he was terrified. So he said, "Save me, save me." And he went to the monastery because he believed St. Anne saved him. So he promised his life he'd be a monk. But in that monastery, he found no peace. Luther could not comprehend a God of love or a God of compassion. For Luther, all he knew, all he experienced, all he expected was a God of wrath. A God that whose wrath could not be satisfied by anything that he did. Till he was sent to Wittenberg to learn and to study and read the scriptures for himself. Reading the Word of God for himself changed Luther, transformed Luther. Through the reading of the Word of God, comprehension came to Luther. And Martin Luther came to know the God of love, the God of compassion that is written about all through the books of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. You will find a God of love. And you, yes, you, if you would read the Word of God for yourself, the love of God will jump off the page and into your heart and into your soul, and you will know love. Just like Luther came to know the love and compassion of God, you will know the love of God. It is in the Holy Scriptures that you come to know what love truly is. And you can come to know that love is for you. Just as Luther learned, God really did love him. For in the Scriptures, the account of the greatest love is written, the giving of the Son of God as Savior, redeeming the whole world through the sacrificial death on the cross. Listen again to the portion of 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. That is brought to the fullness in us. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice. Jesus took the wrath of God upon himself, bearing the full penalty of sin, taking all unto himself. Jesus did for us what we could not do for ourselves, bring about forgiveness and made right with God. Jesus did this all out of love. The Father sent the Son out of love, giving to us what we truly needed, forgiveness and redemption. 1 John chapter 4, starting at verse 14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. How can you not be changed by reading such truth about God's love for us? A love so described and so freely given, a gift not earned, but a gift to be received by faith. And we have seen and testified the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. John is an eyewitness and testifies about what actually happened in history. And his testimony points to Jesus with the amazing truth that redemption is yours by acknowledging Jesus is the Son of God. Receive Jesus exactly as Jesus showed himself to be, the Son of God. And John's testimony tells you Jesus is exactly as Jesus revealed himself to be, the Son of God. Look at the amazing truth that happens when you believe. God will live in you. And you will live in God. Result, God's love is in you also. And then you rely on God's love. God is love, and that love becomes who you are. You live in love as evidence that God has come in and taken up residence inside you. Love as God defines love, not as this world defines love. God's love, holy love, self-giving love, compassion, seeking the best, truest, and purest for the other. Living in the love, that is God's love living in us. We come to experience love in such a way that fear is cast out, for we know that Christ has taken the full punishment of sin, and for us who are redeemed, there is no punishment. So when the day of judgment comes, the day Christ returns in all the fullness of his glory, we can stand with confidence, for there is our Redeemer and our Savior, our Lord and King, who has come. Come to take us to be with him, to take us home, to be with him, with the Father, forever. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because he first loved us. God loved us. And because God loved us, we love God and we love others. The motivation is God's love for us. No other motivation is needed. God loves us. God loves me. I will love you. God has loved you. You will love. You fill in the blank. Because God has loved you, you will love. Not this love is come and go kind of love, that ebbs and flows with feelings and concerns and emotions. This love is steady and true and just, as God's love for us is steady and true, full of righteousness and all-encompassing. God loved us first. For the Apostle John, as it is for us to be too, hating a brother or a sister in Christ is unconscionable. Hatred of a fellow Christian is irreconcilable with the genuine love of God. That person who hates a fellow Christian, according to John, is a liar and has no relationship with God. Giving a very clear illustration that there's a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ that you see with your own eyes. You're in their very presence. And you don't love that person who you can see and who you know you're with. How can you love God whom you don't see? And you really can't know if that presence is right there, because God is so other. If you don't love the person you see, how can you know you love the God whom you don't see? And then John reminds us about the command to love. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Just as Jesus said, recorded in John chapter 15, verse 12. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 12. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. So we turn our attention back to Martin Luther's 95 theses, those questions and those statements. And here's two theses that illustrate an application of this kind of love the Apostle John is writing about. We are to have thesis 82, such as, why does not the Pope empty purgatory for the sake of holy love and the dire need of the souls that are there if he redeems an infinite number of souls for the sake of miserable money with which to build a church? The former reason would be most just. The latter is most trivial. And then thesis 84. Again, what is this new piety of God and the Pope that for a consideration of money they permit a man who is impious and their enemy to buy out of purgatory the pious soul of a friend of God, and not rather because of the need of that pious and beloved soul, free it for love's pure sake? If the Pope has the authority to release from purgatory, in summary, why doesn't the Pope release them for the pure sake of love? Why money? Why not for the sake of pure, holy love? Apply what you have learned from John's letter, 1 John, especially this portion of John chapter 4, and answer Luther's two questions for yourself. Why not release them out of pure love? Thesis 62. From Luther's 95 thesis is really very powerful. The true treasure of the church is the most holy gospel of the glory and grace of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the treasure of the church. The redeeming truth of forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ, that sacrificial death on the cross, the Son of God crucified for all our sin. That's the treasure of the church. This is most important, the love to share that treasure freely with others. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9. This is how God showed us his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love of God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And then verse 19 from chapter 4. We love because he first loved us. It was for the love of people's vexed souls. Luther nailed those 95 theses up. And it should be for the love of lost souls that we tell them of the greatest treasure of the church, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the brothers and sisters in Christ, God loved us first. So we really ought to love each other, because how can we talk to the world out there about love if we don't love in here? Really and truly love as Christ loved. So you see, this letter of 1 John is very powerful. We love because he first loved us. While we were yet sinners, God gave the Son to die for us. That is love. We love because he loved us first. Amen and amen.